Oh, sorry, it's going to look rubbish. It's going to take too much time to fix it up right now, so some rubbish. I'll use the same excuse that Pask used. In his talk, he spoke about this tool. It was useful, so I just grabbed it for my notes. At work, I work network administration. We've got lots of different switches, lots of different routers, lots of equipment that we need to manage. And I was just going to give a very, very brief talk about why we use Debian and how Debian works for us. This talk is very rushed. It's very dodgy. It's probably not terribly exciting to 90% of the people here. So if anyone wants to leave, I'll give you a couple minutes.
Why do free presents?
Sorry?
Free presents.
I got about an hour or two's notice, so I'm not fast. John was going to be giving a talk at this time slot, which I assume is why everyone else is here, because they didn't come for me. We've got DHCP servers, DNS servers. When your network grows beyond a certain size, it gets very complex to manage. And we've been using Debian tools, Debian particularly, to help us manage things like that, to help us manage our switches. There's a really awesome tool called Rancid that I don't think gets enough recognition, that is excellent for maintaining switches, routers. If you've got any Cisco, Netgear, HP routers and switches, it'll just download all the configs, keep them in CVS for you. So it emails you any changes in your switches, so you've got updates, you've got backups. It's great for restoring network configuration, knowing what you're doing, bringing one router's config to another router, stuff like that. There's a talk that I saw in the program later on this week. If you're interested in network administration at all, I'd say definitely go to that talk. It's by Kim Horton. I've only read the abstract myself, but it sounds very interesting. I thought I'd just plug somebody else's talk. Here's some of the tools that we've been using we find very useful. Rancid, I've already had a quick chat about. It's really a very useful tool. Excuse any typos and other problems. It's really quick act up slides. Mailping is a very useful tool as well, which will test mail paths. It'll send an email to a location, which you can then send around, and it'll time mail deliveries. You can hook it up into Nagios, so it'll actually send, I get SMSs if it takes more than an hour to deliver an email to a remote site and back. So tools like this are very useful. The fact that it's all in Debian, I just can type in apt-get install mailping on any of our monitoring servers, type in and copy a couple of configs over, and I'm set to go. It's really a very useful tool. Some of these, anyone who's sort of played much with networks would be familiar with. So it's FreeRadius, which is a Radius server. Anyone interested in anything about that? Radius usually used for authentication to devices. So switches and routers talk to Radius. You run Radius server, so you've got distributed authentication. If you use TACAS, which is a step above that, you can get tiers and very fine-grained control and authentication. SysLogNG, very useful tool for network logging. Flow tools for NetFlows reporting, auditing, and billing uses. TFTP is just general switch and router maintenance. You can copy around images. Nagios is probably one of the best tools I've used. It's very good for knowing what's going on in your network, but it is not trivial to install. It's not trivial to get working just right. One of the things that we're working on is tools at work that use our databases and our details. We've got a tool that we use called NetDisco, and we're hoping to get information out of Disco and feed it into Nagios and generate some Nagios configurations. But it's a useful tool, it just needs a lot of work to get right. NetDisco is awesome. Unfortunately, it's not a Debian package, so it wasn't on that slide. Everyone's probably familiar with those. So there's NetDisco that we use. That's a very useful tool for finding what's on your network. It actually traces through your network using CDP, SNMP. What's the third method? Do you remember the third method it uses?
No, we primarily use CDP.
Okay.
There's
Handy. Handy,
Michael
publish
that.
Some netkernel CDP.
Did he publish it?
Yeah, I pushed into the netkernel CDP is the Perl daemon, which is the Perl library, but it's mostly wrap around a C thing you wrote. So you can pull out the C thing and use it.
Sounds very good, yeah. I'll look into that later on.
The daemon that we used is, but it's just an event-driven interface, so it's like daemons like 5-10.
Yeah. Something. Well, there's also a couple of tools that actually you can feed CDP information onto the wire. So I'm sure you could wrap a couple of scripts around
it's
that.
Actually if
you
wanted. Well.
So basically, this code goes
even listens, excellent.
Using CDP, then it discovers using CDP and then
SNMP to details.
So we looked it into so that the Linux box responds to the CDP calls to the CDP bits.
Okay.
So the Linux box actually pens as a different node.
Excellent. So yeah, it could appear basically as a network device for network tools. NetDisco will also use SNMP to discover neighbours under various conditions, because not everything supports CDP, which is was named Cisco Discovery Protocol, but a lot of devices support it these days. Other cool tools, NOCAT. Everyone's probably signed up to wireless here before. NOCAT, I'm not sure, Matt, you guys using NOCAT or
no,
something similar?
Pretty crazy stuff,
okay. Okay, so NOCAT does something similar to the wireless port we've got here, but yeah. So speak up.
The research that we did indicated that Wi-Fi Dog and Chili Spot are much better options than NOCAT.
Okay. Wi-Fi Dog is something I found when I was trying to get the URL for NOCAT because I'd forgotten it at the time.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find. It's not very good.
Yeah. There are portal tools like that. We are working on developing networks pretty much like what we've got for the conference network here, and NOCAT so far has worked out very well for us in testing. I'll take those notes and play with them later on. Debian rocks, basically, is what my whole point is. We'd rather go with Debian where everything's consistent, everything's standard. You install a standard stable CD and you know what's on it. You know where things are. It doesn't require knowing that Apache's files are here and Squid's files are somewhere else. It's all very standard, very simple. That, to me, at work is one of the best parts of Debian. Any other questions, or it was a short talk? Any other questions, or anyone? Does anyone else actually use or run administer networks, or have any comments? Or I mean, do you guys use Debian throughout your network, or? Why not? What's the problem for you guys there?
It isn't such a problem. It's more that by the time I got there was they're all Red Hat weenies, and it was Red Hat across the board. And pretty much once you've got a whole network of procedures to roll out packages and to configure machines that are all based around a Red Hat centric, it's hard to switch it over the other way.
This is all mainly.
Also, yeah, the boss liked Red Hat for some reason. I like the kernel.
This is mainly about administering, not actually rolling out to large deployments, which I think Debian's also awesome for. But
Well, look, from our perspective, we don't actually manage the machines. I don't really care what sort of them they could be.
No, but these kind of tools all hooked together make my life a lot easier. Yeah. Sorry.
Do you use anything for support requests?
I would like to say yes. We used to, but we're not as lucky anymore. We used to use OTRS, which is a little bit difficult to configure to start with and is really ugly, but it's probably one of the best tools I've used. It's much better than the commercial offering that we're now stuck with.
And what sort of integration stuff do you have to do with Windows? Does Debian make that easier or harder than
Windows? Well, at the moment, I don't have to touch Windows at all because I'm just dealing with network kit and a few service services. The closer I come to Windows is when DHCP on Windows does something stupid that's not supposed to. So I haven't had to deal much with that. We have had to deal with Samba and printing, getting that working with Windows, but that's generally too hard.
Sort of a tool to sort of configure a receipt, so you don't have to reinstall Debian from scratch every time you build the server?
Some sort of script or tools to...
Some sort of...
Kickstart or similar.
Not just Kickstart, but recipe.
I've generally in the past used FAI or FAI CD. Not so much CD anymore because I haven't had to deal with those kind of systems. FII is a great tool for installing custom machines.
But then you have to configure all the servers with exactly the same configuration. As far as I
know about FII. Not always. If no one minds us segueing slightly into an FII talk, FII uses classes. Classes can be defined on host names. So you could basically put this host's configuration in this particular location. Because FII is so scriptable, you can do many useful things. A lot of people have talked about keeping their /etc directories in version control. Using FII, you can just install the system, drop all your version control and etc, and have it set up as you want. Really, FII requires work to script. It's one of those tools you do need a bit of work to use, like a fair few of these, to get them working just right. But when it does work, it works very well. It works much better in my experience than Kickstart. I tried for a little while trying to get Debian installer doing just what I wanted, but it didn't do it at the time anyway. Or I didn't know how to make it do it, which is probably more likely.
Were you using preceding or were you trying?
It was a mixture of preceding and various hook scripts to get it all working. And I'm sure I could have got it to work if I'd continued through, but FII was already working for me at the time. But no, FII is an awesome tool. Lester?
Have you tried system imager in the past?
I have tried in the past system imager, yes. Experience wasn't terribly good. It works well. My first case when I was using system imager was about 24 lab machines that had to be identical, and it works great for that. It works great for a small set of machines to be completely identical in every way. When you start trying to write hooks or customize it, so you know this server has this website, that server has that website, system imager gets a bit painful. And I've found that FII works. I can have one FII server, one image, one install, which installs a workstation or a server or whatever it needs based on classes. So whereas with system imager you'd need one image per type of machine, or possibly one image per machine, in the worst case. FII does it with just one image, one install. Anyone else at all, please?
Are you making use of any the repositories that you use, like the testing we roll out stuff, or is this like a single server?
Most of these are just Debian stable. I've just pulled straight from Debian stable, install it. The tools all work great. If anyone's got any comments or experiences they'd like to share, I would like to be interested, because I was kind of hoping to use this as a chance to steal other people's ideas as well. Because, I mean, lots of people have done some exciting stuff out there that I haven't heard of yet. Anybody?
Yeah, our experience is the wrong OS, but for Kickstart, we just do the base with Kickstart. So effectively, yep. You just get a bare bones machine, and then there's processes which put everything on top of it.
So they're just what post-install hacks to...
Yeah,
drop stuff
kind
in.
Of. The installation process and the configuration process is an assertion-based thing. This machine should have Apache on it.
So
it should have this line in a config file.
CF engine, very CF engine.
Very CF engine.
Okay.
Yeah, but a sort of in-house custom, all in Perl type thing.
Okay.
I saw recently packaged something called Puppet.
Yeah, that's been talked at later in
right.
the week.
I haven't looked at it yet.
I've used it also. I'm using it now.
It does sound very good, yeah.
So that one looked actually quite interesting in terms of...
I've used it to a bunch of servers and around the country that should be identical. Just Kickstarter base install, set up the same config and push it out and little tweaks so they all run on, you know, they all run Polar or whatever, but BGP stuff, just slightly different configs based on, you know, the network and stuff. Just a few tags to the config file. A security update comes along or config change. We had a chance to have a new IPv4 for various reasons, new IP spaces, just go out, run a client on all the config BGP and
config lose access to your own
code. Yes.
That's always pretty scary though.
So if anyone hadn't heard, that's Puppet, that's a talk later on the week. CF Engine is a tool that's similar in concept but doesn't necessarily work as well in my experience. It's great for what it does, but it involves a lot of customizing, small customizations of config files.
Whereas as far as I can recall, FII is primarily this is how you build the machine, and then it doesn't think about Once it's been installed and built the first time around, it does it.
It does it in some parts, yeah. To what you're saying, FOI does have a, I think it's an update mode,
right,
where it runs basically all the post-install style scripts regularly if you set it up like
which
that.
Which is a config engine, you
said. It uses CF Engine or Perl or basically all the post-install scripts are supported by that. If you're not crazy, you set up all your post-install scripts to be re-entrant. So that just works for us seamlessly.
What about removing packages that aren't needed anymore on the system?
CF Engine's, last time I dealt with it, CF Engine dealt poorly with packages. I've heard that in CF Engine 2 it's supported. Sorry?
I'm talking about what you said about FAI.
Yes, FAI has native support for packages. It will trivially install, remove, hold, however you want to set up a package. No, not at the moment. You can get it to use Aptitude to generate that if you so desire.
So how old is that?
What?
You have to repeat that. Oh,
I'm sorry. FAI last full word name. Well,
Amos is talking about if you've got a machine that one day is running your DNS and then you want to move that DNS onto another part to remove the package when this is no longer in the DNS class. And again, I don't think anything handles that very well.
You can tell FAI to remove anything that's not explicitly listed and
right,
its dependencies. You can set it up like that. It is very configurable if you so desire. But,
has anyone here heard about DeepCycle? DPSYCO? It seems to be doing something in that area.
I had a look at it myself. Has anyone else dealt with that? There was a post on attendees. You posted to attendees yesterday about it.
Yes.
Is that right? Has anyone actually touched it? Because I've used it briefly. Is that a? No, okay, just stretch. Used it briefly, and it looks like when I used it, it was the start of something that could be very useful. But at the time, it felt like a bunch of hacky scripts around real tools that really constrained what you wanted to do as long as you did it their way. I got the logic, but it didn't do what I needed the way I needed it. One of the benefits of the general Debian tools and ways of doing things like CF Engine, FAI, is they don't say you have to install something this way. They're very broad. It means that you have to configure them at more work, but it means that you do things your way. Your site might want to have, all your web server content in this location. Things like that, that certain specialized tools, and that's the feeling I got from that one. Debian installer.
It just was a matter of practicality rule, and that particular project kept trundling along and doing whatever it happened to do. And it was possible to do without interaction with the maintainers, which is what the argument, the basic argument was, no, that should all be in the post-in scripts and it should all be configurable and you shouldn't need to do these ad hoc clutches. But it still exists today and it's still fairly popular.
It's a very good project, yeah. Very useful. We're using it at work. So, back to some of the other notes I had in my talk. One of the problems I've had, and I'd like some input or comments from anyone else, is that we've got a lot of tools in Debian and a lot of tools in the Linux community that are related but don't necessarily relate to each other. Nagios is a classic example. Does anyone here use Nagios? Right, lots of hands. Excellent. Does anyone here find writing Nagios configs fun?
See, that's the reason I don't choose it.
What do you use instead?
Well, okay. Historically, before I started the job, Big Brother was installed. It's basically turned into a great big fucking swamp mess that I just want to get rid of. But migrating to Nagios means writing a whole big conference to
Isn't Big Brother just as difficult to configure?
Oh, yeah. That's why it's just for Swansea, because I don't want to deal with it.
The only way to use any of these things is to auto-generate the binaries.
That's exactly what I found. You do need to have tools to automatically generate. That's why John and everyone just ducked out. I might just quickly finish up, if that's okay with everyone, unless anyone's got more comments. For sure.
Goes around and scans through all the memory, frees it, forks again, and then calls exec without doing anything in between. It only had how many services? Over 10,000 services.
Yeah, definitely.
It was kludges and hacks and patches to which were
and writing health checks out of line, so you run the health checks as a process that this health check, it goes and checks all these things by scatter gather type mechanism.
The other thing is passive stuff. If you, for example, stuff like CPU checks, disk checks, whatever, anything apart from the network service checks that really do have to be run externally, dang it on the box, that just sends a trap when stuff fails. So if stuff's okay, you might send an okay trap once every half hour or something. But it's like, and occasionally it gets into a loop where it just forgets that it sees anything and it still thinks it's up, but it never actually receives any traps until someone notices and restarts it. It's,
having said that, it's probably the best thing that's out there.
I've been looking around a lot for a tool, especially one that handles distributed systems, distributed monitoring, and nothing out there doesn't make me cringe. Even from the commercial offerings. All the commercial offerings I've seen make me cringe.
Actually based on a net same code base.
We had crazy hacking. And then we threw it away.
We went
to something else and then came back to Nugget.
We're at 5,000 checks and we're at a load average of about 5 on a dual core Opteron with 8 gigs of RAM.
There were patches posted to Nameless a while back, possibly about a year ago, to do stuff like stop using linked lists and use hash tables to look up to different places. And you comment out, there's like a... Oh, sorry, the other thing I forgot to mention about fork and fork stuff is that the bit to free the after it scans through all the memory, it doesn't actually free the code unless there's a debug defined turned on, it just scans through it all. And that sort of sucks because if you're running 5,000 checks, you're going to be forking and forking in parallel. So you're scanning your entire memory of the space in parallel, and not good.
Question is, did you put the patches back up for any of the changes that you made?
Michael did, and they sort of almost didn't work. So I think we stopped at that point.
Did they go onto the mailing list?
Yes.
Okay, so...
There were patches by... Who would it be? Someone.
Was it Mike Chapman?
No, it was O'Reilly.
I can't even remember now.
It was about a year ago or so, patches by Michael O'Reilly. There were just a couple of them. They were 1.2, I think.
If you search the mailing list for you'll probably find it.
I don't know if you can do that,
but we've tried solving it a slightly different way by having distributed servers. So we've got about 500 or 600 sites, and 2 or 3 of those sites have a manual server.
Yeah.
The goal will be very soon to have configurations generated so that this server is monitoring 1 or 2 services elsewhere and clustering that sort of site.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get completely bogged down running everything.
Yeah.
If we were in a position where we were able to daemon on all the machines, we just ran out of init tab and it was a plug-in type thing, and check this, if it's above the threshold, set the trap off. That's not always possible, especially for Windows Server.
But NetSaint used to have that as well. There was
Sorry,
I was going to just bring this back. I'll just close it off, have a chat afterwards.